Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. November 18th, 1979. Over 900 people died in a remote commune known officially as the People's Temple Agricultural Project. Does that sound familiar? You might know it by its more familiar name, Jonestown. Jonestown was named for its leader, Jim Jones, who fashioned himself as some kind of reverend, pastor. And they established a commune in the country of Guyana, South America. And over 900 people followed this reverend, Jim Jones, from San Francisco all the way to South America. They were doing a couple things. They wanted to develop their own religious community, but really they were also fleeing the U.S. government. Now the history of Jim Jones and Jonestown is terribly tragic, terribly chilling. But it comes down to this. Jim Jones was a charismatic man. People wanted to follow him. And he fashioned himself into being like a godlike shepherd. Through his charisma, through his message, he led the majority of his flock, some 900, maybe 1,000 people or so, from San Francisco all the way to South America. They sold everything. And they eventually died in a murder-suicide pact. You've heard the saying, don't drink the juice. That comes from this. When many of the people, children included, were given Kool-Aid laced with cyanide. It was a terrible event. Jim Jones was not a good shepherd. He was, by definition, an evil shepherd. Now, what makes a story like Jonestown so compelling is the fact that the people wanted to follow this man, this man who became abusive, who eventually was addicted to drugs. It's just beyond thought as to why people would follow him. People all through America, though, did, and they moved from one place to another, wherever he said they went, even unto death. Now, we've seen examples of this throughout history. In the early 1990s, a group of people called the Branch Davidians, about 70 people, gave their lives following a man named David Koresh, who at the time said that he was the Messiah, he was Jesus come back. And these 70 so people died in flames in Waco, Texas. In the years leading up to World War II, young men and women from all over Germany sought to become part of an organization called the Hitler Youth. They wanted to follow the man named Adolf Hitler. Now, these are obviously extreme examples throughout human history, examples of shepherding and being shepherded gone horribly awry. But as is often the case, these extreme examples serve to put our own sinful humanity underneath the microscope and explode it for us, really show us who we are. Scripture is dead on in describing us as sheep. We are sheep. And we desire to follow something or someone. The problem, of course, is that there are far too many false shepherds out there. Far too many people and things taking our attention away from the one true good shepherd. Now, as you saw in the children's sermon, when given the choice, many of us actually do want to be the leaders. We don't like being sheep all the time. We don't often like to be followers. Some of us would rather just be the leader. We think along the lines that, you know, I don't want to be herded around. I can take care of myself. But all of this, whether you are a follower or a leader, boils down to, I think, what is the core sin of humanity, and that's idolatry. Idolatry. You can think of it as the perversion of the greatest commandment. A man came to Christ and asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, love God and love others. Love your neighbor. It boils down to those two things. Love God, love neighbors. Idolatry is a perversion of this. Instead of loving God, we idolize ourselves. We think so highly of our own abilities. We make ourselves out to be our own gods. And this is the first sin in Scripture. This is what it all comes down to, Adam and Eve taking the fruit. They wanted to be like God. We are self-sufficient. We are independent. When the valley of the shadow of death comes before us, we can find our way. We can get through. We don't need a shepherd. But there are some of us, of course, who do like to follow. We don't always like to be the one in charge. We don't like to lead. And in that sense, we pervert the other side of that commandment. We take that part where we're supposed to love and serve others as representatives of Jesus Christ, and we twist it. We represent ourselves instead. We do things in our own best interest, and we end up worshiping that which we serve. That can sound a little odd. It sounds a little bizarre, but there are those out there who in marriage end up worshiping their spouse. There are kids out there who end up worshiping their parents, grandparents. And these things, worship is a strong word in this sense, but they can take the place of God in their lives. And instead of God being the shepherd, other things become the shepherd. But we are sheep, whether we like it or not. And in the gospel, Christ calls those things that aren't the shepherd, Christ calls hired hands. And the key there is that the hired hand really, truly doesn't care about the sheep. Whether we are the leaders, whether we are the followers, whether we are taking things into our own control, the hired hand will always, always fail us. Our idols eventually fail us, even if our idol is our own self. But this brings us to this wonderful psalm, Psalm 23, which is, you all know it, you probably had to learn it in confirmation or in Sunday school at one point. It's a beautiful psalm. But consider the person who wrote it, David, King David. In the Old Testament, kings were often referred to as being the shepherds of their people. And David himself had humble beginnings as a shepherd before he was king. And out of these experiences, David writes this psalm. And he doesn't just call God a shepherd. He uses God's holy name, Yahweh, and claims God as his very own. The Lord is my shepherd. David, the king, knows who's supposed to be the one leading. The Lord is my shepherd. And because he is my shepherd, I shall not want for anything. He brings me to good, green, grassy pastures, brings me to refreshing but calm and gentle waters. Of all the people in Israel, David has the right to call himself the shepherd, but he knows exactly who he is. He is but a sheep. And he knows to which flock he needs to belong, the Lord's flock. He is a sheep, and he needs a shepherd. He needs the shepherd. But you and I and David need more than just a shepherd who will lead us around. God knows this. He knew it from the beginning of time, and so he sent his Son to us, his Son who says to us, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own. My own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Throughout our country, people recognize Jesus Christ. Whether they believe in him or not, whether they think of the cross or not, they recognize Jesus Christ. And often they will say, well, at the very least, he's a good teacher or a good person, a good example to follow. And he is that. But we don't need that kind of shepherd. We don't need a good example to follow. We are sinners. We are the worst kind of sheep. We're obstinate. We fight against the shepherd. A good leading shepherd isn't what we need. We need a shepherd who is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Think of that. A shepherd willing to die for some stinky, mangy animal. The cows aren't worth it, are they, Julie? No. But you, sheep, you are worth it. The good shepherd lays down his life for you. Wasn't enough for God to be a spiritual guide. He had to be a savior. The Lord wants to lead us through the valley of shadow and death. But he does it by going there himself first, going there for you, and then bringing us through victorious as Christ was victorious. At the end of the psalm, Psalm 23, David kind of shifts his language away from shepherding metaphors and talks about a great banquet. Through the death of Christ, we receive the forgiveness of sins, and through the forgiveness of sins, we are given life. And Psalm 23 depicts this life as being a banquet. And a lot of Scripture does this. And at this banquet, it is the Lord who is the host, the good shepherd. He prepares a table for those whom he has died for. And he treats them as honored guests. Today, you are Christ's honored guest. You are the one for whom he has died. You are the one who he leads. And you are the one whom he will bring to eternal life. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who lays down his life for his sheep. Help us, Lord, to realize who we are, that we are but sheep, but we are sheep that are worth dying for. Lord, we ask that you would be present to us today and in all days. And we ask too, Lord, that as sheep, you would help us to bring other sheep into the fold through your Holy Spirit. And today, Lord, we pray for all the missions that we have supported over the last few months. And we ask now that you would have your hand in guiding our mission selection for the month of May, that it would be a mission that you have chosen, not us, and that you would help us in our resources to support the mission that they have in this area. We pray this in your name. Amen.